marked by the collapse of confidence in the Enlightenment project and a rational certainty about truth. So now hearers are more intuitive than logical. They are reached more through images and stories than through propositions and principles. They are also allergic to authoritarian declarations. We must adapt to the less rational, non-authoritarian, narrative-hungry sensibilities of our time. In our understanding, it is a great mistake to jettison expository preaching in this way. But in some quarters, the response goes something like this. Because postmodern people don't like our kind of preaching, we are going to give them more of it than ever. They are unwilling to admit that much conventional use of the expository method has tended to be pretty abstract, quite wooden, and not related to life. It is also true that many traditional expository preachers like the neatness of preaching through the epistles instead of the vivid visions and narratives of the Old Testament. But most importantly, expository preaching fails if it does not tie every text, even the most discursive, into the great story of the gospel and mission of Jesus Christ. Justice and ministry to the poor. Another example is the issue of justice and ministry to the poor. Many young Christian leaders who are passionate about social justice complain that the classic reading of the Book of Romans by Augustine, Luther, and Calvin is mistaken. They say that Jesus did not bear God's wrath on the cross, but instead exemplified service and love rather than power and exploitation, and therefore defeated the powers of the world. The gospel of justification in this view is not so much about reconciling God and sinners as about including the marginal in the people of God. In other words, they believe that if Christians are going to leave their comfort zones and minister to and advocate for the poor and marginalized of the world, we must deconstruct traditional evangelical doctrine. All this rightly alarms many conservative Christian leaders, but some wrongly conclude that those who are strongly concerned to minister to the poor must abandon traditional Christian doctrine. Neither group is right. You do not have to change classic traditional Christian doctrine to emphasize that ministering to the poor is important. Jonathan Edwards, who was hardly anyone's idea of a liberal, concluded, "Where have we any command in the Bible laid down in stronger terms and in a more peremptory, urgent manner than the command of giving to the poor?" Edwards saw a concern for the poor that was rooted not only in a doctrine of creation and the Imago Dei, but also in the doctrine of the substitutionary death of Christ and justification by faith alone. Since Jesus had to die to appease the wrath of God, we know that God is a God of justice, and therefore we should be highly sensitive to the rights of the poor in our communities. They should not be mistreated because of their lack of economic power, and because we were spiritually bankrupt.